What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL, joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, what's going on, brother?
Man, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Except for the fact that we won't see any live NFL football for 6 months.
Hold on. My wife sent me a text shortly after the end of the Super Bowl. It was the next day. So I'm going to read this out. It says, only 7 months. No, this is for yesterday, okay?
So
7 months, 7 days, 10 hours, 53 minutes, and 6 seconds until football season. I was like, yes. That's what's up. unless you're a degenerate like myself, that at the end of March, I think it is, you have the kickoff of the UFL. So last year, I'm interested in that.
Yeah, last year I remember you talking about watching some of the XFL, mm-hmm. the USFL, like some of those games. I kept meaning to, and just I forgot they were even on. So well, this year I do want to at least check them out and see how that.
Yeah, and then of course you know in the summertime you have the CFL kickoff. So, which my wife definitely calls me a degenerate for watching. The CFL.
I mean, she's right, too. So.
She's not wrong. And I guess with that, we might as well just jump into it. Yeah. Well, since the last time we talked, we have seen the last game of the season has been played, which is Super Bowl 50-some-odd that I can't remember the number on. 58. Hold on. Somebody says, April Thompson says, what's up, J.R. Clark and Jonathan? What's going on?
What's going on, April?
Yeah, we just having ourselves a good old time. Chris says, let the P4P mock draft season begin. That's right. We are going to do a million of those before now and the end of April. Hucklebuck says, the Falcons are officially on the clock. Rise up. Everybody is. The Bears are definitely on the clock.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, we have to talk, and we don't have to, but we're going to talk a little bit about what transpired out in Vegas on Sunday. And unfortunately for the Niners, what happened in Vegas didn't stay in Vegas because the rest of the world and most of Canada, I don't know if you saw that tweet or not, like half of Canada's population watched the Super Bowl. So, Willie Doc has a good point here. We appreciate you, Willie, big time.
Thank you, Willie.
He says, based on Shanahan's tendencies to become allergic to running the football in the Super Bowl, we were always destined to lose 51. Good Lord, man. Yeah, that's like, it was, I don't know, man. Like, the beginning of that game, like, both defenses were hitting pretty hard. I think both defenses were trying to, you know, send a signal early, try to take the fight out of the other team early on. And it was kind of like, unless you like defensive battles, it was kind of a, you know, not a boring, but it was not necessarily, there was no fireworks really in the first half. Like the Chiefs looked a little like not discombobulated, but they didn't look like they were firing on all cylinders. Travis Kelce bumping into a, you know, his coach forcefully.
When that happened, like if he was anybody but Travis Kelce on that team, he probably doesn't play the rest of the game.
I mean, that's probably, but you could like that could be said. But once you get to a certain point in your stardom, in your importance to the team, I've always said talent, like there's a talent and BS like scale. Depending on which one, like depending on how heavy, you know, the talent is, it'll outweigh the BS every time. You know, if you're one of the superstars, you get to get away with a lot because you're extremely talented. But if you're a practice squad guy or a special teams only guy, you just have to say yes, sir, and go sit down. You know, so that's always been something that I have noticed.
But my brothers texted me, my younger brother, the day after, and he was like, yay, Chiefs or whatever. And I was like, man, or one of them asked me, like, you know, what'd you think of what happened last night? You know, or what'd you think of what happened last night? And I was like, it was same series finale or same finale as last year. Got boring.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I was kind of hoping for a little bit of a gap between like Tom Brady's domination for the past 20 years before we got the next guy, you know?
Yeah.
Because even if it wasn't the Falcons, I like to see different matchups. And with this year being a down year for the Chiefs, and if a down year, they can repeat winning the Super Bowl, that doesn't bode well for us, you know, or for the rest of the league for that matter. Like, imagine being Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. You know, you have to go through KC. And
even if they come to your house,
right, you have to go through KC. And this year was one of your best shots to knock them off, and you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, now maybe Burrow, when he comes back next year, he seemed to have given, you know, KC, you know, a little bit more fits or whatever. So, you know, maybe Burrow can be the Manning to the Brady, you know, kind of that duel. Because now it definitely doesn't look like, you know, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson are really up to the task of year in and year out dueling, you know, Patrick Mahomes. So
it's just, you know, if you're a KC fan, you're loving life.
As you should.
If you are anybody that roots for any NFL team that's not the Kansas City Chiefs, then like you can recognize the greatness of a Mahomes or Brady before him or the Montanas of the world. But if you're an NFL fan of any team other than those guys, like, the last thing I want to see is another Chiefs Super Bowl in the next 20 years.
Yeah, they could go like I need the salary cap to really kick in and start biting off chunks. Now the next biggest hurdle for like breaking that dynasty is how long does Andy Reid coach? You know, and then can they, you know, reproduce after that? You know, after he's gone, after Kelsey's gone, but everybody wanted to count out the Chiefs after Tyreek Hill went to Miami, and
all they've done is win two Super Bowls.
Right. Exactly. Nick says, pound for pound makes the time pass before football every Tuesday. We appreciate you, Nick.
Absolutely.
Our buddies,
we do our best
out of your Falcon mind. I'm salty at them. Because John won the Raheem Morris signed helmet.
I never win anything.
I never win. I got all this stuff I got here. I had to pay for it. You know what I'm saying?
I know. Anyway.
But let's see, Chris said Eric Armstead played a great game. I'd love him in Atlanta. I'm not sure what his contract situation looks like. But right now you got to think San Francisco isn't like paying big money for a quarterback right now. I know I don't know how much they still owe Garoppolo or if he's off their books altogether. But you know, they may not lose as much, you know, as far as players go. I did think it was interesting after a game getting called out, Chase Young had a pretty good game.
Yep. Well, he had a good game of like, he got to Mahomes once and chased him around a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So, but like, even in a loss, that defense played really. I mean, you get to the end of a game where you've been playing, playing your ass off all game long. And of course, there's going to be fatigue involved. Yes, of course, things are not going to look as good as they did first quarter of the game. So I don't blame the defense. I don't even necessarily blame because Kansas City's defense has been playing out of their freaking minds for the past 2 months. It feels like they've just been really playing good football. And, you know, the offense you know, needed more, didn't get it. It wasn't necessarily because of bad play calling. It wasn't necessarily because of bad QB play. It wasn't necessarily because of bad, you know, skill position play. It was just they were playing against a really good defense. And I, like, I would much rather have this kind of Super Bowl than a 30-something to 40-something or high 30s Super Bowl. I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of fans out there would much rather see scores in the 30s in the Super Bowl or, you know, blowouts or whatever. But I like more defensive-minded.
I'll say this. I liked this type of game over the, like, 3-10 or 3-13 with the Patriots and the Rams that was played here. I wasn't like that game was boring as all get out. You know, and even
give me anywhere between like 17 to 24 points for each team.
Right.
That gives you some good plays on offense to at least, even if you're getting into position for field goals, you're having to make plays to get there. So you get to see some good offense, then you get to see some good defenses holding them down.
Right.
And you do that all game and the tension of like, okay, who makes a mistake?
Now, okay.
That's the fun part.
Do you think something got brought up on social media, and if I could find it, I'd bring it up. But do you think right now that Shanahan is the new Andy Reid? Because, like, Andy Reid in Philadelphia.
But Andy Reid in Philadelphia could he only got to a Super Bowl once.
I know, but that was the thing. It's like he never could win the big game, whether it was the NFC Championship game, getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that kind of became the moniker, is that he could get you like close, but couldn't get you over until he got, you know, Mahomes and KC.
I'll say this. I heard a really good answer to that from Shanahan. Not a Shanahan fan, but somebody actually asked him, like, hey, you know, there's the thought going around now that, you know, maybe the San Francisco 49ers just can't win can't win a big game.
Right.
And his answer was that it was like, I mean, if you look at it, we had to win big games all through the playoffs just to get here.
Oh yeah.
You know, the thought that they can't win a big game is ridiculous that they can't do it. Now, if you're going up against a team like Kansas City with Mahomes, and if they, you know, if you don't, the biggest problem that I've seen so far is that the Kansas City defense has kept them in games that maybe a few years ago when the offense was really humming, the defense maybe wasn't quite as good. If that same defense showed up this year, they wouldn't have won as many games. They probably are not in the Super Bowl because they were down. Like, they were slow starting on offense. They weren't going out there scoring 24 points in the first half. They were scoring 3 or 7 points in the first half quite a few times. And they get things going later in the game because the defense, you know, keeps them in it. It keeps them hanging around. Mm. And that's the big problem that Buffalo had. That's the problem, you know, Baltimore had. That's the problem that San Francisco had. They were up. They let them hang around. They gave
Mahomes time to put them away. Hucklebuck brings up a good point. He says the 49ers are favored to be in the Super Bowl next year. They have a talented team despite the final result. Yeah, I mean, as far as effort goes, there's no reason for them, the players or the fan base, to really hang their heads. They fought all the way through that game. There's some plays that they want back for sure. You know, there are definitely some plays that they want back. You know, the fumbles, potentially you could have the debate all you want to about the new overtime rules, whether they should have taken it, you know, should have deferred it with the new rules. You know, maybe now that this is the first time we've seen that go into effect, maybe now the, you know, Shanahan has a different motto going, or, you know, different idea going forward. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what all transpires. That guy, KJ, appreciate you. So this guy, KJ.
JKJ.
Some we're going to get into, but you know, I don't want to make him wait too long on that. He says rumors of Fields to Pitts, maybe more hints to the trade up to Daniels. I'm going to revisit this. I'm going to keep this starred, but we're going to revisit this a little bit later on in the show, because this really kind of goes with what we got planned later on. So, let's see. Fredo says, we keeping Pitts or trading? I think
you're keeping him.
I think you're keeping him. I think he's part of the dynamic weapons that you have. You can still, you know, do the fifth year option. I think they may have already picked up that. I can't remember. Those I have a tough time keeping up with in my head.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's still a dynamic weapon. And now with, you know, what everybody perceives to be a great, you know, the next great play caller, I think we have high hopes that he's going to be the next great play caller, but that we might get better use of it. But I will say this. If you look at the traditional use of, you know, the tight end in the McVay era, not a huge part of the offense. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see. I think Fred, our good buddy Fred Butts, has the same feeling that a lot of us do, or a lot of the fan base does. Kyle Shanahan does it again, and he laughs all the way. I think, you know, a lot of people, especially around here, had that sentiment, you know, of, you know, didn't want to see Shanahan win. I didn't really have like a dog in the fight, obviously, but I felt like it would be at least an interesting story to have, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft, in his like second full year starting, you know, win the Super Bowl.
Because that was what I was pulling for. Like, I could care less one way or the other, Shanahan or anybody, but like the guy I wanted to see lift that Lombardi trophy is Mr. Irrelevant, you know, going up against, you know, the current GOAT.
Right.
You know, and coming out on top. That's what I would have liked to have seen.
Right. Just for the just to buck a narrative. Like I said, our buddy Dembski says, in my opinion, Shanahan was great in the game. And honestly, they're a blocked extra point away from winning. Watching him pivot his game plan mid-game was fantastic. My only concern with and maybe, you know, Dembski, if you want to chime in again on that, my big concern with the pivot his game plan was, I felt like in the second half he started throwing it a little bit more. Like, I'd have to go back and really, like, watch it and study it, but I don't have a real reason to, because it's not my team, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
I got limited time, so to speak, and I need to focus on the things that affect the team. But it felt like in the second half, and maybe I'm just being influenced by posts I've seen on social media and comments that Romo made during the game, but it felt like they didn't run it as much. You know, so I don't know, maybe I would have liked them to keep McCaffrey involved a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I get, you know, kind of in the same boat as you. Was like, I'd have to go back and look at it again to be 100% sure. But at the end of the day, I didn't feel like they really did they throw it a little bit more than they passed it? Excuse me. Probably, but at the end of the day, I didn't feel like they just abandoned the run. I could be wrong. It didn't feel that way when I was watching it. It felt like whenever they tried to run, they didn't all, you know, there was a time that there for a while, every time they tried to run, they were getting stuffed. Like,
right.
They weren't getting anything out of it.
The biggest differences I see just like quickly is, you know, the 3-for-12 on third downs was, that was kind of big. Total plays, they ran 71, KC ran 79. Purdy only got sacked once. They each both punted the same amount of times. I heard somebody talking about penalties, like how KC didn't get called on penalties. They both were penalized six times. KC was actually penalized more, like more yardage wise. KC threw an inter. They both had two turnovers, two fumbles lost, one fumble lost, and an interception for KC. So I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's just.
I think this is one of the few times. It's not that it never happens, but I think this is one of the few times that I feel like we got based on their play in the playoffs and based on their play in the Super Bowl, we got the two best teams in the NFL playing in the Super Bowl. And,
oh yeah,
and the game reflected that.
Yeah. Right. No, I definitely agree that, and you know, KC came out on top. So hats off to them. I was wrong. I'd have to look at a breakdown by quarter, but McCaffrey ran the ball 22 times and then caught the ball 8 times. So he touched the ball 30 times. So, I mean, that's you know, good involvement.
That's significant.
Yeah, I would just have to see, like, did it all come, like, my mind – I may be getting influenced by chatter since the game, but my mind is saying, oh, well, that was mainly in the first half. So I could be completely wrong. This guy, KJ, says,
KJ?
Why they not show our Dirty Birds on all the all bird team? I know, right? The all bird. I was waiting. I kept waiting. I was like, how y'all not going to have the Falcons on there?
The disrespect is real.
Oh, dude, it's beyond real. Beyond real. I'm right there with you, KJ. That was crap. That was horse crap. That was bird crap.
It was absolutely bird crap.
Fred, we appreciate you. He said, I will go to my grave believing Kyle blew our Super Bowl to get Jimmy G. I said, I repeated that same, like, conspiracy to my wife after the Super Bowl. Because we were talking about, like, why people didn't really like Kyle. And I was like, a lot of people feel like, you know, because of the lost playbook on media night. And then, you know, to get, you know, Jimmy G. So it's funny that Fred brings that up. All right. Well, I think that puts a bow on the Super Bowl talk. Because, you know, I mean, again, not a dog in the fight. So.
It was a good game.
Oh yeah.
That didn't have the outcome I wanted.
Right. So off season is underway. And yes. So Fredo asks, what moves do you think we will make next? Okay. The logical or somewhat cynical answer is the next moves are free agency. But before we get to free agency, we go to, yes, Damski says, off season Falcons. Right. This is, yes. There's a part of me, I ain't gonna lie to any of y'all, there's a part of me that enjoys this aspect of it more than the games. Like, if it's like, you know, team building is just a tad higher. It's not much. But
well, you know why, right?
We ain't play, we can't lose right now, so to speak.
Exactly.
Well,
it's the optimism that kicks in because you start thinking about guys. You start getting excited about who we might potentially go and get them. Once you get them,
then how does it work?
And in between then and the draft, now you're like, okay, so we picked up this guy.
This is how he
lost these guys.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. You start like looking at it as a puzzle. You're like, puzzle piece here, puzzle piece there.
Right.
Take that one out. Put this one over here.
It's the same deal. Like if you ever watched any like heist movie, right? Mm-hmm. Three quarters of the heist movie, maybe even more than three quarters of the heist movie, maybe 7/8 of the heist movie, is them setting up and preparing for the heist. And then the last 5 minutes of the movie is them actually pulling off the heist. And so, that's kind of always what I equate it to. So the next move is the combine. The combine comes in the end of February, I believe. Let's see. I'll get you actual dates. Not BFL, NFL. Combine.
February 26th through March 4th.
Yep. Okay. So the end of the month, we'll get the combine. And so then you'll start to get to really solidify height, weight, because that's really about the biggest thing is height, weight, and medical. Bench pressing and all that stuff is great, like three cones and all that other stuff. Those are like little factors. But one of the major things is like, how big You know, how tall is the guy? How much does the guy weigh? How long is his flipping arms? You know, how big is his hands? These are the things that are kind of a big deal, you know, whether you believe it or not. We get to have the fun of the 40 time.
Yep.
But that's all that is fun. Because a straight line 40 is far different than in pads running on a field. I've never even played the game, and I can see that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's something that, yeah, like King says, you know, you can't talk about the draft too much without the combine. That changes everything in the draft expectations as guys that are supposed to, you know, be in the teens, major. It's the combine and the pro days, combine more than anything else, is a final, like the final time we get to like really start shuffling who goes where. To me, go ahead.
Yeah, but I agree with this. This is why the NFL has the best offseason in sports.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They look, if the NFL has done anything, they have figured out the best way to capitalize how to maximize the entire calendar. And their games only being played, you know, so in 6 months, you know, whatever it is.
Yep.
Fred Bucks, again, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
He said, my prediction is we trade up to 3. If that falls through, we trade for Fields. That's the most common, like, thing right now, which we'll get into here in a little bit. Let's see. James says, oh, my God, so do I, JR. Love the combine, the Senior Bowl practice, and the different takes from, you know, different content creators. Yeah, like, that is what I have found myself, like, really enjoying more. Over the years, I've sat down and wrote profiles, you know, my own profiles on players. I realized nobody really wanted to read those, so I stopped doing it. I truly enjoy trying to figure out, like, who's going to fit the team. And then after that, like, figuring out, like, who I was, you know, right about. Like, the year TJ Watt came out, I was right about that, you know, over Tack McKinley. I was right about this year, or this past year, Rashee Rice at SMU. I was watching him down there at the Senior Bowl. I really liked him, and, you know, you've seen what he's been able to do.
He came on late in the year, too.
Yeah. Oh, Atlanta content creators combine? Bro, John. Mr. Yates, do you not see this, how flabby? No, sir, I am not calm. Unless the combine.
Come on, everybody wants to know your 40 time, James.
Look, if it's 40 time on crushing wings, maybe.
I was talking about?
Definitely, I'll blow out like I said the other day, I blew out of my back bending over to pick up a ball. So, no, I'm good on the on the combine. Now, I'd like to go to the combine. That would be fun. That would be interesting, but. Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing any kind of combine. Willie says, I am souring more on Fields. If Raheem wants an elite processor, he ain't it. I don't know.
Look, here's what I'll say. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I'd have to go and look it up. I think he was already out of PFF by this time, but, like, I don't know what Zach Robinson thinks of Justin Fields. If he likes him, then I'm fine with mm-hmm. it. If he doesn't believe he has all the things he needs in a quarterback, then I'm fine with moving on from him. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, based on what I've read of him and seen from him in his past at PFF, and now in the NFL as a quarterback coach, as a passing game coordinator, you know, the guy knows how to get the most out of the QBs that he's working with.
Right. I mean, I said something the other day, is like, I find myself when I'm watching, like, I have downtime and I'm watching Rams stuff, I find myself watching the games of Baker Mayfield, the games of Carson Wentz, the games of Warford and some of those other guys, over watching games of Matt Stafford, because Stafford has such a unique talent that it allows you to do so much more. And so I want to see what the scheme looked like with subpar talent, so to speak, and see what they did there. And I mean, the one game Wentz played, he looked okay. You know what I'm saying? Damski has a great idea. Now this I might be able to get on. He says a content creator is 7-on-7 versus 7. That I might be able to do.
I'd blow out a knee just looking at the field.
I probably would blow out a knee, but I also kind of agree, you know, he goes, you know, can we cut the crap with the elite processor? Like y'all ain't never watched, you know, Justin play except his negative plays. I agree there, like in a sense. Like I'll be first to admit to anybody, like I haven't sat here and studied Justin Fields. I've watched a couple of quarterback schools breakdowns with JT O'Sullivan, and even he says in there, like it's hard for him to tell whether it's what they're asking him to do, how he's being taught, like all this stuff. There are major factors that we don't have the answer to. What I will say, as far as a dynamic, like playmaker, as far as like being able to escape the pocket, you know, make all the throws on the field, like those kind of things. Oddly enough, the things that we, you know, champion Caleb Williams for right now are the things that we're knocking Fields for. But one thing to keep in mind, and I'm not trying to change your mind one way or the other, mm-hmm. like you have your own opinion and that's fine. But just keep in mind, he's under like 3 different OCs, 2 different head coaches in 3 years. That's not a recipe for success for any QB,
no.
Especially a QB coming out of college. So I'll phrase it like this. If a trade goes down and Justin Fields ends up here, then until I see differently, I'm going to treat it like Zach Robinson, TJ Yates, KJ Black, and there's a handful of other guys, passing game coordinator, I can't remember his name right now, that staff looked at it and said, okay, we can work with this. And we actually think that we can. Now, look, the last staff felt like they could work with Desmond Ridder, at least for a year. And you saw how that turned out. So until I see it on the field, you know, I will look at like the upside, just like you would with a QB in college.
Yeah. You know. Damski's talking about, biggest thing is Raheem and Zach Robinson have 100% of my faith, especially with the offensive and QB room he's built. So, like, that's where I'm at.
Okay? Yeah, you got once it until you don't, right?
Yeah. Once I've heard, with everything that I've heard about Zach Robinson, about KJ Black, TJ Yates, all that stuff, once I heard about all that, if there's a guy, whether it's Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, whoever they target, and if they're able to go and get them and they say, this is our guy. Okay. Now, granted, they're going to say that probably about whoever they
end up. Oh, yeah. Whoever they end up with, right? Like,
yeah. But I'm sure they have their tiers, right? They're like, this mm-hmm. is our number one target, number two, three, whatever. But if they say, look, this is the guy that we want, and they're able to go get him, then I'm going to trust that they see something about them that they can really, get the most out of.
Right.
Right. Because I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Justin Fields is or is not an elite processor. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Justin Fields is or is not a playmaker at QB. Okay, has he made some like splash plays in his 3 years in the league? Yes. Has he made some boneheaded plays? Has he made some really bad plays? Has he looked like he didn't know what he was looking at on the offense? Yes. Has he looked really good on the offense? Yes. It's so back and forth. There's a lot of both, right? And so I have never played organized football. I have never yet. No, sure? I wish I had. But no, I've never played organized football. I have never coached organized football. I will probably never coach football or play football. At this point in my life. So, at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit here and say, I can tell you this guy for sure is the man, you know, and especially coming from college, because you, like, even the best guys miss.
Oh yeah,
a bunch.
I mean, look, so just this past last generational, I keep going back to it, and I'm, you know, poking fun at, you know, at guys like Damski and myself and other guys that I've interacted with on Twitter. You know, the draft that they came out in, the Trevor Lawrence, the Trey Lance, the Justin Fields, the Zach Wilson, like, you had to get a quarterback in that draft because no other quarterback was ever going to come out again, ever. Yeah. And here we are with, you know, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, you know, some people you could throw J.J. McCarthy in the mix. So I am going to say, like, whoever they come away with, I'm going to, until they show me differently, I'm going to assume that they have a plan to get the most out of them, right? You're putting a lot of resources into that coaching staff, into that QB room to have it come out, you know, with a good product. King Seven says, Fields, Daniels, or Russell, don't be surprised if Wilson ends up here on a cheap deal if the Broncos cut him. As long as he's willing to play ball, and, you know, then I'm down, you know.
If Russell, here's what I'll
say
about
Russell Wilson.
No, he's not my top choice. If Russell Wilson is willing to come in, actually learn how to play within the offense, and, you know, when the time comes and things break down and you get out outside the pocket and do all that jazz that he's done his whole career, when you can fall back on that, and that not be, here's how we move the football. It's not three-step drop balls out. It's three-step drop, look. Okay, got to escape. And you're looking to do that, and that's the only way you have success, because that's the only way he's had success his entire career. When you keep him in the pocket and you keep him, very few times has he been able to beat a team when they've been able to keep him in the pocket. And not let him get out and do the playmaking stuff on the edges.
And that's that's the thing that makes guys like Mahomes elite and dangerous, is because they can do it no matter what. Oh, you're going to keep me in the pocket? Fine. I'll kill you from here. Oh,
they won the Super Bowl last year on his one leg.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, those guys, this was an interesting rumor that had popped out today. This is what are a guy's thoughts on Ladarius Sneed rumors, like it or hate it. I like it. I think Sneed is an alpha dog at that nickel position. And at the first, like, the more and more goes on, the NFL, that is a starting position. And anytime you can get one of the best at one of your starting positions, then I'm down. And Ladarius Sneed is, like, he is a force for Kansas City, whether it's blitzing, whether it's coverage.
Is he potentially a free agent?
I believe so, yeah. Okay. And along with, like, there's a potential that defense that kept them around this year is going to look a lot different, because, you know, Chris Jones is a free agent. And so is Ladarius Sneed, and I think there's a few others. So, like, if we could get him, like, here to, you know, lock down that, because we floated back and forth, you know, the fan favorite D. Alford, for whatever reason, you know, got benched for, you know, Mike Hughes at some point in time at the end of the season last year. So it's kind of up in the air. If you're telling me, hey, you can have Ladarius Sneed or you can have D. Alford or Mike Hughes, I'm probably going to take Ladarius Sneed all day long. So, I mean, that's my thoughts there.
Well, the biggest problem there is how I saw that, and I like that, but
we'll get to that.
But the biggest problem, not the problem that I have with it, but the concern is this guy is going to be a free agent or potentially a free agent. We'll see if KC re-signs him.
Right.
But if they don't re-sign him, he's going to be in very high demand.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who's already won two Super Bowls. He's a young guy still. And the amount of money you're going to have to put towards him
is going to be pretty big. The rumor, I think one of the rumors was he's looking around like $19 or $20 million a year. Yep. which, you know, yes, it is a starting position, but still, like, how much does this defense or this coaching staff value a nickel, you know? So that's, you know, that's my thoughts there. The idea of Chris Jones and Grady would be awesome, but you got David Onyemata. I don't think you're going to go after Chris Jones because you just signed Onyemata, and he played really good last year. No, he's not Chris Jones, but I don't think you go chasing that.
Well, I mean, if they did sign him, I'm not going to cry about it.
No,
but yeah, I do agree. Like, hey,
I'm just talking about the realistic nature of it.
Right now, the defensive interior, assuming Grady comes back from his injury, doesn't have any super crazy ill effects from it, that kind of stuff. Then, you know, the middle of that defense on the line is not an area of concern for me this upcoming season.
Fred, you're going to have to, like, link me that somewhere. I didn't see where he said he wanted to play for Raheem. That would be interesting.
I have not heard that. I have not seen that. I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Let's see.
I mean, Brian, I'll say Brain Burns. Yes, Brain Burns. He would fit along with his brother, Brian.
Brian, look, if you can get Spider down here, dude, yeah. Come on with it. I'd be over the moon for that one. I know there was a short-lived rumor that Hassan Reddick was granted access to look for a trade. That come out, he said he never asked for a trade, so he wanted to stay in Philadelphia. So we'll see how that plays out. But Hassan Reddick would be super fun. He is such a fun chess piece on a defense that he would just be an absolute blast. But yes, if we could get Brian Burns, that would be amazing.
Like, okay, real quick. Like, if I'm looking at Brian Burns, I'm looking at Danielle Hunter, and I'm looking at Montez Sweat. Like, if he doesn't get re-signed in Chicago,
I think he already did. Like, he got re-signed.
Did he actually re-signed already?
I'm talking like 2 weeks after he got to Chicago.
Oh, my bad. I completely forgot about that.
But
definitely Danielle Hunter, Brian Burns, like those are probably my top two targets in free agency if I'm looking for an edge in free agency.
Right. Let's see. Damski brings up a good point. Damski's one of my resident guys I talk to defense with. He helps me understand a lot of the nuances. He says, I wonder what road Raheem and Jimmy take if they're building from back to front. Snead would be so fun for that idea. That's the thing, is like with Nielsen here last year, there was an obvious emphasis on like getting that D line, you know, with him being D line coach, responsible for pressures and all that stuff down in New Orleans. Like you felt like a real, obviously we got Jesse Bates, obviously, you know, but with bringing in, you know, Caden Ellis and David Onyemata and Bud Dupree. And like, it was a lot on, let's get this D line and linebacking core right. But if you look at the defensive staff that we have from head coach down, like pretty much all those guys are defensive backs guys. Like Raheem Morris, defensive backs coach. Jerry Gray, secondaries guy. Jimmy Lake cut his teeth in the secondary. Defensive backs coach, and then worked his way to defensive coordinator in college ranks. And when he was in the NFL, he was a defensive backs coach. So it could very well be the idea of building back to front. That's kind of what felt like Dean Pease was doing. So,
you know, personally, not a big fan of that. I am of the opinion, whether it's offense or defense, you build from the inside out.
Yeah, build your trenches. And yeah, you can kind of say that they did that last year, you know, with Onyemata, with Grady. It'd be interesting. Charleston Nash asked a question, who would y'all want to see the Falcons bring back in the re-signing period? Like, would you want to see him bring back Calais Campbell for another year? I would. I liked his veteran presence, his veteran leadership. He was still effective. But the one of the bigger questions is like Bud Dupree. Do you think Bud Dupree is worth bringing back? He had what, 5 or 6 sacks? Trying to remember.
6 or 6.5, I think.
Let's see. Hold on. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's 31 years old. You know, is he a guy that you would like to see come back? Let's see. Sacks. He had 6.5 sacks. Yeah. So, you know, what do you think? Like, is AK going to take another step forward? You know what I'm saying? Like, do we, depending on what we do in the draft, if we sign a guy like a Justin Fields, we may end up drafting a guy like a Jared Verse or a Dallas Turner. So there's like a premium edge rusher there. Is there anybody that you're like, oh man, I really, because there's 21 free agents.
I haven't actually looked at a list of them.
A lot of them are like lower tier guys. There isn't really much on the offensive side outside of like Mac Hollins and Van Jefferson, which I'm interested to see if they bring back Van Jefferson just because his familiarity with the McVay guys.
Yeah.
But is there anybody like that y'all was like, oh man, I hope they bring this guy back?
I mean, I wouldn't mind Bud Dupree. Depending on what he's asking for, right? But like, I wouldn't mind him because even if you bring in, you know, another edge guy, whether that's in free agency or the draft or whatever, he's a good guy to have as, like, if you're definitely in like a running situation. I think he plays the run really, really well. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, he did, you know, was he spectacular off the edge? No, but he had, like, if he had gotten, if not, not even every, but if he had gotten half of the sacks that he, half of his almost sacks and had converted those into sacks, he would have been a double-digit sack guy easily,
right.
Probably on his way to, like, 15, 16 sacks. So, like, you get him to, you know, whether or not you can or not, you know, he, guys, like you said, he's, what, 31? So it's not, he's been in the league for a while. I'm not sure he's going to necessarily go any higher than what he's at now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, maybe, you know, things work out a little bit differently in the middle. Guys aren't able to step up as much. And if that's the case, maybe he converts some of those almost sacks into sacks and, you know, maybe he gets up there into like the 8, 9, or 10 sack type season.
Right.
And he's that, that's definitely a budget move.
Oh yeah.
If you're looking to bring him back for another season or two.
On, I think it was overthecap.com, just on like a handful of like no brainer restructures. If you wanted, if Terry wanted to go that route, and then cuts and stuff like that, I was able to get us up to like 68 million in cap space without much, you know, effort. So I don't think budget is just smart. Yes. But, I don't know how big of a concern that is.
Well, like you said, being smart about it. So you bring him back as sort of a reserve, a backup, you know, a piece that you then add the more expensive talent to.
I want to put at least for today, we're going to have plenty of time to continue talking about this because I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. Millie has a good question. He says, how much would Fields still be worth if traded? Would he still garner top 10 money? I assume you lose value if the team moves on from you. Now,
depends on how I'm just going to answer that. It depends on how he performs. If he moves on to another team, he's traded. And he, let's just say for the sake of, you know, just for the sake of it, say he comes to Atlanta he does well. I'm not saying spectacularly, but he does really well. And we end up in the playoffs, maybe winning the division, and we win a playoff game. If that happens, he's going to get, you know, he's going to get starter QB money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's going to get 40. He's going to get Daniel Jones money at minimum.
Yeah.
Like if you want to talk about, like, anybody screwing up the scale, so to speak, when the Giants paid Daniel Jones $40-something million dollars a year, yep. Like, yeah, he's getting that minimum. Nick Pinnikoff on Twitter, a guy I follow, had a good like comparison, and I want to say this, and then I want to say one other thing and kind of put a bow on it for the day. The compensation that the Jets got for Sam Darnold was a 2021 sixth, a 2022 second and fourth. If you look at their stats side by side, Sam Darnold, 3 years in the league, Justin Fields, 3 years in the league. They're pretty similar. They're on kind of pace with each other. So that was a few years back. You might do a little bit different, but a trade compensation could look something like that. I do find it funny, though, and this is the last bit I want to do on this, and we'll move on to some other questions. I do find it hilarious that Pittsburgh is being linked to Justin Fields now. And the reason why I find that hilarious is because of Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith's their new OC. He didn't necessarily want him when he came out of college, but now he's going to look like the Steelers are expected to call the Bears about Justin Fields, which I find to be ironic in a sense. Like, you had the chance to draft him. You didn't, for like, because you didn't want to draft him. You drafted Kyle Pitts instead. And, you know, now you might end up with him anyway. And I just kind of find that ironic.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, now the Pittsburgh Steelers have all the, it's going to be Justin Fields or, you know, the Tannehill stuff. Like, they get all of that now.
Yeah. Because of Arthur Smith.
Yeah, because of Arthur Smith.
All right. So, yes, Nick, I understand. We had Ryan. I know. But it's to me, it's still comical.
Get it right. It's future Hall of Famer Matt Ryan.
Don't start that can of worms just yet. We got plenty of offseason that we can do a whole show. don't
there's waste no can of worms. It's a new right. deal.
What it could be considered is a mockery. All right, so we're gonna do a little bit of a new segment, at least during this offseason, where we take a look at some like talking heads mock drafts, and especially ones that we find to be interesting or like different from the norm. Like right now, the vast majority of mocks that come down to the first eight picks, you know, you have Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels all going 1, 2, 3. Then, you know, Malik Nabers 4. Like, the consensus is getting set pretty quickly. So we thought it'd be a fun exercise to take a look at some different mocks, some ones that catch our eye, whether it's something different that they have us doing or somebody else doing that would be interesting. And today we're going to take a look at one from NFL Network. So let me go ahead and put this on screen. Bam. All right. So we're going to take a look at the one from NFL Network. This is from, I'm going to mess her name up, but it's Cynthia
Freeland.
Freeland. Okay, cool. Thank you. I'm a very much like a phonetic pronouncer. You know, like I'm over here trying to Lund. Anyway, so she is like, if you're not familiar with her work, she is like the analytics chick. Like, she runs things through algorithms, and I find what she puts out to be very interesting. Okay. Because it's not the norm. It's not exactly what everybody else puts.
Yeah,
kind of goes along with what. So let's just kind of go into it. So I don't know if y'all can read this part or not. I'm going to kind of summarize. She goes, I do my mocks a little differently from the traditional method. In my team, prospect pairings are based on optimizing for wins in the upcoming season. So that's what she is structuring her mocks around, is how can we maximize the wins for this season? Okay. So right off the rip, she's done something I haven't seen anybody else do. And she has the Bears taking Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. You know, left tackle, like right off the rip. She has them sticking with Justin Fields and picking Joe Alt, which I find to be like, that certainly could happen.
Like, if it there are worse picks you can make if your plan is to keep and start Justin Fields.
Right. Exactly. So that right there already sets the tone for this mock draft.
I can tell you right now, draft day, if that happens, literally everybody's mind will melt.
I might, like, our stream might crash.
Mel Kiper's hair will just run off camera. I mean, seriously. Just get, like, I don't know what to. I'm out.
Right. I kind of agree with Michael here. He says Caleb is going one, whether it's the Bears pick him or trade down, which is why this isn't realistic. I understand. But, Michael, here's the deal. We got from now until the end of August. Not August. April. We have from now until the end of August. We're going to go through. I said it again. April. Where we are going to look at a million mocks.
Yeah.
So I figure it might be fun to look at something that may not always be like,
I mean, the consensus. I'll even, if you go back to a couple of years ago, I remember one of the very earliest mocks that I remember seeing. It had the Falcons at 8 taking Drake London. And I was you are kidding me. Like, we don't need this.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need that. We blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. We don't need any of this. And there's no way you take a wide receiver at 8. And then come draft day, we took a wide receiver at 8, and his name was Drake London. So, right now, everybody's going to look at it and be like, oh, the consensus is obviously this. When we just had somebody talk about it earlier, the combine hasn't even happened. Once the combine comes and goes, like, could it all stay the same? The consensus is still, you know, Caleb, Drake, Jalen, 1, 2, 3? Absolutely, could be. However, you never know.
Right.
All of a sudden, I've seen some early mocks that have Drake May somehow falling to, like, 5th. Or, as far as 8.
We're going to look at that because Willie says, I don't mind if y'all mock every week. Y'all do a great job. We're still going to do our own mocks. We may be like an every other week thing. So, all right, let's keep rocking here. Let's keep mocking. So, they have Caleb Williams going to Washington. Makes a lot of sense. Kingsbury is there now. Yep. He grew up in Washington. There's even rumors that Washington may try to trade up to 1 to secure Williams. So, now they have New England picking Drake May again. Makes a lot of sense. New England needs a quarterback. They need to reset. Major rumors that they're going to be trying to offload Mac Jones. Arizona grabs Marvin Harrison Jr. For another viable weapon for Murray. It doesn't look like they're going to move off of Murray. So why not get him the one a lot of people feel like is the absolute best prospect in the draft? So
he kind of falls. I'm not saying he's you know, people aren't necessarily describing him in the same manner, but there's a lot of the year we took Pitts, a lot of people considered him to be like the best player in the draft.
Yep, and that's kind of the same talks there. Chargers taking Teron Arnold as cornerback. Giants taking Romeo Odunze, which is a lot of people consider to be the second best wide receiver. They need more help up there. And so that makes a lot of sense there. The Titans taking a tackle. They got to do something to help, you know, protect Will Levis. Mm-hmm. And then for us, they have, and this is kind of where we're going to stop I'm not going to go through the whole mock, but this is where they have us landing Jaden Daniels. And I'm going to go ahead and call it. If there's a way that we can land Jaden Daniels without having to move up, I'd be over the moon for that one.
Yep.
Like straight up. Straight up, I would be over the moon.
I'm not going to tell you that there's not some kind of bias there, but since about mid-college football season, Jaden Daniels has been my guy that I've wanted the whole time. I don't get a chance to see a lot of Caleb Williams. I don't get a chance to see a lot of I didn't see a lot of Drake May. What I have seen of Drake May, I would like, to me, it's Jaden Daniels and then Drake May. Right. And Caleb Williams is my third QB, but I would take any one of those three, but I would prefer Jaden or Drake if we can't get Jaden.
Yeah, because the thing with it was Kirk Benkirk put out a tweet on Caleb Williams saying he had him as QB2. Thought it was like not unfair, but you know, to compare him to Mahomes. He didn't think he was as good as Drake May. Well, no, he didn't think he was as good as Jaden Daniels. He had Jaden Daniels as his number one quarterback. And so it's a – and the reason why he cited was not necessarily playing in structure and, you know, the teams that they played against out there on the West Coast as being one of the reasons why. And you could say, like, you know, Jaden Daniels did what he did, won the Heisman, and he did it against SEC competition. So if we're going to put SEC competition – higher than anything else in our grading scale for everything, then why wouldn't you want Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, and I agree with that, but at the same time, like the last two GOATs, Brady and Mahomes, now obviously Brady was in a time where the SEC wasn't quite the powerhouse that we currently have, but neither was the Big Ten. Or whatever it was at the time. I can't remember if it was called the Big Ten then at that time still, but the, you know, that was the case there. And Mahomes, he didn't play an SEC schedule. Like, he didn't go up against SEC
opponents. Right. Yeah.
So exactly. like a lot of times people are talking about, well, who do you go against? It doesn't really matter. I mean, you can have guys, yeah. How many times did we see, you know, whether it was a Miami guy, Testaverde, yeah, he did okay in the league, but yeah. You had like Testaverde and you had some of those guys. Then you had the Florida quarterbacks for years, the Danny Werfels of the league and things like that. They would come in after looking otherworldly for two, three, four years and just never be able to make it on the big stage. So, you know, at the end of the day, would you prefer to have a guy who went up against really good talent and showed out against that talent? Absolutely. Does that guarantee you any kind of success in the NFL? Absolutely not.
I mean, come on. I was having that conversation at work. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Cal Berkeley, Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio. You know, last like great quarterback that came out of a like powerhouse school. You can say it's Matthew Stafford and like Peyton Manning. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Somebody in chat. Well, you forgot about this guy. Yeah, you're right. I did. I forgot about that guy. Sorry. But like here lately, you know, Trevor Lawrence played at Clemson. Hasn't fared so well so far. You know, rookie season, Ohio State, you know, has had a mixed bag. Like CJ Stroud has done a real good job of kind of changing the narrative for that school. But
it's just one guy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, but my deal is, you're right. I've seen more being in SEC country. I have seen more Jaden Daniels than I have seen Drake May, than I have seen Caleb Williams, than I have seen JJ McCarthy. But that's why the onus is on us to watch it, is to, you know, look at those guys and make sure that, you know, we're not just regurgitating hot takes from other talking heads, that we develop our own takes.
So if I'm looking at it from that perspective, the guy, like, to be, if I'm being completely honest with myself, the guy that probably stands out of those three is probably going to be Drake May. Cause you're talking about a guy who, you know, he's going in the ACC, you know, he's playing a lot in the ACC. So the ACC is not all that great, but I wouldn't exactly say like North Carolina had a powerhouse team themselves. And that guy has looked real good.
So. But yeah, like with, yeah, Huckle, Joe Burrow. I told you, I knew I was forgetting somebody, Joe Burrow, Ohio and LSU. But here's the deal. Like right now, without doing a ton of studying, I've done a little bit. Like we got time, so to speak, and this is what I'm doing now, right? My top two quarterbacks that I think are reasonable to land here. I'll say top three. Top of the wish list is Jaden Daniels. The reason why I think he's more of a possibility than anything else is because I do think that you could potentially trade to three. And get, you know, depending on, especially if the Patriots go out and sign a Kirk Cousins or a Russell Wilson, then I think you could get to three. And I think that that's a realistic possibility. Outside of Jaden Daniels being like my biggest thing I'm willing to wish for. The other one is JJ McCarthy. Before you come at me, he's made a lot of really good throws, and he, like, if the league itself has coveted Harbaugh as much as it has over these past few years, then, like, I'm willing to go out on, like, a little bit of a limb for the quarterback that played for Harbaugh, that he has said is one of the best quarterbacks he's ever, you know, coached. So, dude, when you have a Blake Corum, you don't necessarily need to throw the ball all over the field. Yeah, but, you know, he was able to make plays when he needed to make plays. He's operated in more of a under-center pro-style offense, so it shouldn't be as hard to translate. Mm-hmm. And then my last guy, and it's only if the medicals really check out, and I still wouldn't want to spend a first on him, is a Penix. Mm-hmm. And that's because of his accuracy. Those are my, you know, three guys. You might be able to convince me, like, the second tier in the second round, you could convince me to get a Penix or even a Bo Nix. But their age on both of them kind of keeps me from wanting to spend the first on them, because both of those guys are, you know, in their mid-20s already, like 24-ish, I think. I'll have to double-check that. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree. You know, if for some reason we can't get up to three, and none of the top three guys, for whatever reason, don't slide, to, you know, whether it's Drake May or Jaden Daniels, neither one of those guys slides down to eight for us.
Right.
I don't feel like anybody else that would be left is worth the eight. And so you either trade back if you find somebody else.
Yeah, like there's up. If there's somebody who's like absolutely has to have a wide receiver or an O lineman, you know, kind of deal.
And so from that point on, yeah, I'd say my next guy is probably it's between McCarthy and Penix, really. Bo Nix, to me, seems like a guy who, when he was in the SEC, didn't look nearly as good. Now, again, we go back to the it really doesn't matter who you play. But at the end of the day, we saw what he was like. You know, now, maybe if Patrick Mahomes had played in the SEC, maybe he still does as well as he did, and he looks even better. And it's not like he could go that much higher, but at the end of the day. But, like, the guy, Bo Nix, when he was in the SEC, didn't look all that great, went out to Oregon. Now he's playing Pac-12 defenses instead of SEC defenses.
Right.
Now all of a sudden he looks great. He's got all the talent around him and stuff like that.
The question is, like, which we'll get into. We got a couple months to really dive into it. It's like, if we want to knock Bo Nix for that, do we then knock Caleb Williams for that?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you have to go. That's what you have to navigate, right? And I encourage anybody to watch this stuff for yourself. Don't just.
But I'll say the guy, outside of Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Okay. Those are my two top guys. Outside of those guys, the most intriguing guy out of all the rest of them, more intriguing than Penix, McCarthy, Nix, whoever else you want to put up there, is Spencer Rattler. Like, that's the guy. That's a guy that interests me in a way that I would like to be able, if we could pick him up in, like, the third, maybe. Mm-hmm. But that, I think that is contingent on Rattler. Rattler comes in as your third round pick. If that's the case, then my guess is you're either picking up Justin Fields or you're picking up one of the vet guys for him to sit and learn behind. Right. Like, that's what I think. But I think from an arm talent, from a potential standpoint, he's a guy that I really like.
He's intriguing.
Skill set.
Like, if he can, we talked about processing earlier, like, he can give you some plays that you're like, holy crap, and then he can then turn around and almost the very next play throw it right to the other, the other team. So, all right, well, like I said, we got plenty of time to talk about all this. We appreciate y'all hanging with us. We've gone a little over an hour. Hope y'all enjoyed the new mockery segment. Maybe next week we'll do our first official pound for pound mock. I kind of wanted to wait until like after the combine to get into ours.
Nah, come on. Like,
well, we can do a pre and post and see how it changes. I hope y'all.
Once you do your first one, it's gonna be hard to stop doing them.
Oh shoot, what are you talking about? I've already done about 10. So y'all just ain't seen them.
I took a break from like I ever outside of like the stuff going on in the playoffs. Like all the anything that dealt with, and obviously the coaching search and stuff like that for the Falcons, anything outside of that, I haven't really paid attention to. I haven't been paying attention to, up until maybe the past like few days. I haven't really been paying attention to mock drafts for the exact reason you just laid out. The combine's not here yet. So,
yeah,
you know, I mean, everything's going to change after the combine. Yep. But
all that stuff.
Yeah. So I haven't really, paid that much attention to. I've kind of taken a mental break from that stuff. But going forward, you know, I'll try to, I'm going to go back to, you know, like trying to pay attention more to that stuff. I'm going to be definitely by this time next week, I will have done at least two or three mocks probably, and just to get back into the swing of things with that. And then we'll be full bore, because by this time, when we come back next week, we'll be a week away from the combine.
Right. We'll be a week away from the combine starting. This stuff's going to move along pretty quickly. I hope y'all have been enjoying the little shorts I've put out. I've been making a conscious effort, to do more of those. I think those are fun, and it helps me gauge what y'all are interested in. So if it's a topic that comes up that you really like, you know, make sure you like and comment, because if one of those gets enough, like movement, so to speak, it might bust out into a little bit of a longer form video. But all right, folks, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We appreciate y'all hanging out, following along. You can follow me at Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128, GRIMM1128. Jonathan?
@ Jonathan M. Holder. Come by and say hi.
That's right. Keep your eye on the channel as shorts will be going up. Salute Your Shorts for all those who remember that show. the shorts will be going up, and there'll be other things on the channel periodically. And as always, we're live every Tuesday. So
yes, we are.
We'll see y'all back in here next week. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.